1 Corinthians 16, we have been working through the book of Corinthians. We have come to the 13th verse of the 16th chapter. We've spent a little time here on these commands that the Apostle Paul gives at the end of this great epistle to the Corinthians. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. These commands we looked at, watch ye, we were to be careful, awake, alert, for our adversary the devil seeks whom he may devour. Under the picture of a sentry, we are to watch. And not only are we to watch, but we are to stand fast, which is that we are to be unmovable. That which we have attained, let them not take that away. Let them not take your crown, as he says in the book of Revelation. So we are to be alert. We are to stand fast so that we are not moved, that we do not regress. We only progress toward the heavenly city, that we do not lose the things that we have won thus far in the faith. We should not want to lose ground in the faith. Those things which we have believed, that we continue in them. Those practices which we have learned to practice in the faith, that we should maintain them. And then we came to this part of the text that says, quit you like men, be strong. Be manly, be strong, be courageous, be strong. Different ways it's translated. The sense being in the 70, in the Septuagint. That's why we went to Joshua, that phrase. Be strong and of a good courage. And we looked at the first point was we play the man when we have courage to take on our responsibilities. If we are to be men, then we have responsibilities, for God has placed us in a place of responsibility. And therefore, to play the man is to have the courage to take on our responsibilities. Secondly, we saw we play the man when we have the courage to obtain the promises of God. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ. There are many great and precious promises that he has given to us that we may obtain of the divine nature, that is, we may become like God, that is, in those attributes which he can communicate to us, that we would grow in the faith and be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who is God of very gods, begotten, not created. And then thirdly, we play the man when we have the courage to follow Jehovah Jesus in love, obeying his commands. For obedience takes courage. That is, to obey the word of God takes courage. In a world which makes light of the Word of God, which discards, which marginalizes Christians and marginalizes what you believe and how you act and how you behave and how you order your life, it takes courage to follow Jehovah Jesus in love, obeying his commandments. And it is a part of our manhood that we should love the Lord. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, all who do not love the Lord Jesus Christ, may they be Maranatha, anathema. May they be cursed quickly. Fourthly, we play the man when we have the courage to put away our fears and trust his almighty presence with us. Now turn now to Joshua. We'll go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. We've been outlining this sermon concerning manhood, using Joshua as an example and the encouragement that Joshua was given by the Lord. As that phrase, be strong and of a good courage, is used over and over in this first chapter. And we've come to verse 9. Joshua 1 and verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, where God's command is our authority, we can afford to be bold. Who shall gainsay us when the Lord of hosts gives us leave? Fear in such case is dishonor to our invincible commander. When the Lord is on our side, when the Lord is on his side, confidence is but reasonable condition of a believing man. Where God's command is our authority, we can afford to be bold. This is what causes the righteous to be as bold as a lion, while the wicked flee when no man pursues. Because they have the authority of the very Word of God, the very God of very gods, one true and living God has commanded us. And when He commands us, then we can go forth with a boldness which will defy all wickedness, the wickedness of man upon this earth. And it is a command. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage? It's not an option to be courageous, to be strong. It's the command of the Lord. And whatever He commands, He will supply the necessary, whatever is necessary for you within your soul. No matter what your past is, no matter what your personality is, and you can go through all the personality types, and some are more bold than others. Peter was more bold. He would be a personality type of somebody who was bold, right? And yet, throughout the scriptures, we find him in fear at times. So no matter what your personality type is, no matter who you are, where you've come from, what your background is, how you were raised, we have the command of the Lord to be strong and of a good courage. And courage is not for a select few. It is God's command to all men to acquit themselves as men. Joshua was the man who took over after Moses died. And Joshua surely needed courage to guide all those people into the promised land, many who were full of fears. And the generation before, he knew about that. Because the generation before, he and Caleb alone were those who would stand and say, we can take it because God has said we could take it. And the rest of the nation said no, and the rest of the nation died. So Joshua knows the necessity of courage. But it isn't for just a Joshua. It is for each and every man born into this world. We are not to fear the consequences of obedience. But instead, we are not to ask what will happen to me, but what is required of me. What is required of me. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Our question is not what will happen to me, though that automatically goes through the hard drive and we size up every situation and we get an idea of what might happen to us, though that worst case scenario we work up in our heads isn't always true. But in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 38, but Joshua the son of Nun, which stands before thee, he shall go in thither, encourage him. For he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Moreover, your little ones, which you said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in thither, and unto them will I give it, and they shall possess it. But as for you, turn you, take you a journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea, and they would die. One of the excuses they made for their lack of obedience was, but if I obey, what's going to happen to my children? Something bad is going to happen to my children if I obey the Lord. And he says, those very children whom you claim to be the reason why you disbelieved me, they are the ones who will have faith to go into the land and take the land, while you will perish. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. In verse 9, verse 8, if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, and neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. And of course, at that point, the congregation bade them stone them with stones. But the courage was necessary for all the people. They were not to fear the people of the land, and Joshua and Caleb were so confident They said, they'll be bread for us. We will eat them up. You're saying that they're going to eat us up. We will eat them up. And it wasn't out of some kind of machoism that they possessed or because Joshua could deadlift 400 pounds. That wasn't what it was about. It was because he had the command of the Lord. And therefore he knew he was supposed to go forward. When David was talking to his son Solomon, 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David asked Solomon to have courage as well. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. In verse 20, David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of a good courage. For what? And do it, and fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord thy God, even thy God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. He had a work to do for the Lord that he was to finish. And his work was going to be very different than his father David's work. Because David went about subduing all the enemies of the Lord round about, and that's why Solomon's reign was a peaceful reign. Because his father had already subdued those enemies. And in this peaceful reign, what his work was to finish the temple, to build the temple, to continue on in that particular work. So the work that we have is specific to us, what the Lord has for us. But he needed courage to promote the worship of the one true God. And he said, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. So there would be problems with that work as well. David had his own issues as he went out to battle, but he would have issues, Solomon, in a peaceful time, seeking to build the house of the Lord and the difficulties that he would face in it. And so he needed courage as well. And the courage that the saints need to possess always seemed to be a courage against all odds. In 2 Chronicles chapter 32, and verse 7, be strong and courageous, be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him, for there be more with us than with him. And how can that be? Because with him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord, our God, to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, the king of Judah. And so as men, we are to acquit ourselves. As men, we are to play the man. We are to have courage to put away our fears. And we not only need courage to put away our fears, we need courage to put away the fears of others as well. These people rested upon the good words of Hezekiah, the king, because the people need someone who believes. Families need someone who believes. Churches need someone who believes. Countries need someone who believes that the arm of flesh will fail us, but that the arm of the Lord will not, and that one can chase 1,000 and two 10,000 if the Lord be with us. The Lord has never worked through a majority. The Lord has always worked through a minority. And that's why the necessity of courage and the necessity of faith, to understand that it is, if God has spoken it, if God has given us command that we are to go forward despite what the odds look like, it doesn't matter what the odds look like. If God has commanded us to do it, we are to go forward with it. You remember the story of Elisha, who was troubling the king of Syria. Because the king of Syria in his bedchamber was giving plans for the army, but the plans were getting out somehow. And they didn't know how the plans were being leaked out. And one of his servants said, no, it's Elisha the prophet. He tells the king of Israel the words that you're speaking in your bedchamber. And so he's told to go and spy that we may fetch him. And they sent forth an army there. And the story in 2 Kings chapter 6 is a story where they find him in Dothan, not Dothan, Alabama, but Dothan in Israel. And it says that he sent, in verse 14, 2 Kings 6:14, he sent horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and they compassed the city about. And apparently the king believed that Elisha had some real help, because to get one man, one preacher, they sent a whole army to get him. In verse 15, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So apparently Elijah didn't have an army with him, or the servant wouldn't have been saying that. The whole city hadn't risen up in his defense. And he answered, "Fear not. Those that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and he said, "Open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, a mountain full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha didn't need to see it with his eyes, because he had already seen it by the eye of faith. He knew it. He walked with his God. He knew there was more with him than with them. And that's what gives a Christian courage. Courage even if we are in the hands of an enemy, which is a difficult time to have courage. John Knox, the preacher, and you note how they send a whole army to get the preacher, because the preachers are a problem. Because the preachers hold forth the word of the living God who made heaven and earth. And they are afraid. They are afraid of the preaching of the Word of God. They are afraid of the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who is the stone cut out of the mountain, whose kingdom shall overcome their kingdoms. They are afraid. They have always been afraid. Knox, when he was 33 years of age, he was condemned to the galleys. The great preacher of Scotland. And as he was serving in the galleys, down under the boat, rowing away, underneath the power of other men, it says that the priests would come around. They were celebrating Mass. And while Mass was being celebrated on the galley, and the Salve Regina, O Holy Queen, was sung, a statue of the Virgin Mary was handed around all the board to kiss. He refused. "Don't trouble me with such an idol. The idol is accursed," he said. But they kept thrusting it in his face and thrusting it in his face to kiss the idol. He laid hold upon the idol and threw it out the window and said, "Let her swim. She is able." But that's courage when you're in the hands of the enemy. "Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed?" Why? Why, Joshua? "For the Lord our God is with us." That's why. He is the covenant God. "I will be your God. You will be my people." It is a simple matter, but it is the matter of faith that God is with us. You remember in Jacob's ladder, when he was thrust out of his home, heading toward an unknown place, and God came to him and he saw this ladder, this stairway up and down to heaven, angels going up and down between heaven and earth. And God said to him, "Behold, I am with you. I am with you, and I will keep you in all places, wherever you go. And I will bring you again to this land, and I will not leave you till I have done what I have spoken to you about." And it was a vision of the eternal God whose ministering angels are at His beck and command, whose providence watches over us at every moment and in every place to accomplish His will in our lives. The same reason why our Lord Jesus Christ, after He said to Nathanael, "I saw you under the fig tree," and Nathanael said, "You are the Son of God. You are the King. You are the Messiah." He said, "You think that is great? You are going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You will see in my life such a protection in the providence of God that shall astound you." And you remember Moses when he had the great multitude of the people of Israel with him, and he was feeling the burden and weight of these people. In Exodus 33, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you are going to send with me. And yet you have said, 'I know you by name, and I have found grace in your sight.' Now therefore I pray you, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may have grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And so the weight of responsibility that God places upon the shoulders of men when He tells us to acquit ourselves as men is great. And it should drive us to God. And it should drive us to say, "I don't have such strength. But I need to know you." And He said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." There's our rest, is to have the presence of God with us. And He said, "If your presence doesn't go with us, if your presence is not with me, don't send us. Don't send us." And for so long in this land, we have tried to go up into whatever kind of promised land people think there is without the presence of the Almighty God. And what has it led us to? He says, "If your presence does not go with me, don't carry us hence, for how shall it be known that I and your people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that you go with us?" Isn't that how the world knows that we belong to you? Because you are with us. And that's what brings about that intrepid courage in the heart of a man, is to have God with him. To where they have to say, they have to take note that these unlearned men had been with Jesus. They had not only been with Jesus, but they were still with Jesus. "So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people on the face of the earth." You see, a Christian is separated from all the people on the earth. They're different than all the people on the earth. In what way? God is with us. God is with us. He says in Leviticus, "I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people." And that is grace. It is grace that God should walk among us and not abhor us. And that is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. The blood of the everlasting covenant, that God can be among us and not abhor us. And he says in Deuteronomy, when you go out to battle against your enemies and you see horses and chariots and a people more than you, don't be afraid of them. For the Lord your God is with you, which has brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, thou shalt call his name Emmanuel. God with us. God with us. This is what makes us different. This is what brings about that courage that Joshua had. Isaiah 43, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will be with you. I have redeemed you." This is why they have this courage, because God is with them, and God is with them as a Savior. God is with them as one who has redeemed them, because all men know that that there is a God. They know they have offended this God, and that's why they create gods. And all over the world, they try to propitiate gods, make those gods happy, because they know and they fear death. But it is the Christian alone who has the true answer and whose conscience has been cleansed, because we are justified by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has declared us not guilty. Not guilty before the very throne of heaven. So he can go forth with a clear conscience. He knows his sin, but he knows his Savior has borne that sin away. And that he shall, when he dies, he will come before the judgment seat of Christ. And Christ will be not only his judge, but his advocate. The Great Commission was to go forth and disciple all the nations. What a task for 11 men. But the promise was, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So they went, and they began to disciple the nations, 11 men. We play the man when we have courage to put away our fears, trusting in his almighty presence with us, with us. We demonstrate that courage when we step out in faith. We make preparations to do the work of God, and we do the work of God. He says in Joshua 1 and verse 10, Joshua commanded the officers of the people and said, pass through the host and command the people. And he said, prepare. Prepare your food. We're going in. So we play the man when we have courage, and that courage is to begin to do what God has commanded us to do. What Joshua had to do is get them ready to go into the land. So prepare the food. Pass through the host, Joshua said to the officers, and command the people, prepare the victuals. In 3 days you're going to go over this Jordan and possess the land. To the Reubenites, Gadites, and half tribe of Manasseh, he told them to remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, said. So instead of fear, we are to make plans. Instead of fear, we are to make preparations. Instead of fear, we are to go forth and to begin to take the steps of obedience to God. And when fear comes, we are to remember the word that God has spoken. Do you remember that Enoch walked with God and God took him? You remember Noah walked with God and God put him in the ark? You remember Joseph walked with God and he ascribed everything to the providence of God. All this, all of my life has been God at work. Now when we think of Peter, Peter was that impetuous disciple, that beloved disciple, the Lord loved. He was the one who asked the Lord to bid him to come on the water. Because he was a man of faith. Nobody else was asking that question. The text says, when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. Our faith at times sinks, his did. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Now all the rest of the guys are in the boat, and Peter gets the rebuke. But Peter went out on the water. But he had fears. He had fears. He had good sense to have some fears. And yet, the Lord said, if I tell you to come out on the water, you don't need to fear. Oh, you have little faith. I told you to do this. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Peter who said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you will, make us three tabernacles. One's for you, Moses, and Elias. And then the cloud comes over him, and hears the voice of God who says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. You listen to him. And it says, when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and they were sore afraid. He was afraid. And Peter it was that followed the Lord afar off. And when they kindled the fire in the midst of the hall, they sat down together, and a little maid questioned him and quizzed him, and he got questioned and quizzed until he, with oaths and curses, denied the Lord. Why? Because he was afraid. He was watching the goings on. He knew where they were leading to. He didn't want it to be him. He was not ready for it. He had fears. And when Peter came to Antioch, Paul says, I withstood him to the face, for he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those which were of the circumcision. He was afraid of these who were Jews. He didn't want them to think that he was rubbing shoulders with some Gentiles. He was afraid. Peter, in his book, writing later, says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Fear God. Peter says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith. Peter knew what he was talking about, because the devil had wanted to devour him. In fact, Christ had said the devil would devour him, except that he had prayed for him. Peter says, ye therefore, beloved, knowing you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. I bring Peter before your eyes because Peter was a man who was very bold, he was very brave, he was very brash, and yet he had fears. Fears which brought him into trouble from time to time in following the Lord. And what did Peter have to learn? He had to learn, like all of us have to learn, that we have to fear the Lord more than men. That we have to be careful because there's an adversary who's seeking our downfall. And we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And continue to persevere in those things. There was no magic moment for Peter in which suddenly, you know, after he had denied the Lord, he was restored to the Lord. Well, then he went into some kind of state of perfectionism where he never feared again. It's not true. The text tells us it's not true. Do you remember Lot, who was told to escape to the mountain? That's what God said. Go escape to the mountain. And the text says he feared and he begged to go into Zoar. So he ends up at Zoar. And he doesn't find a very friendly reception there, no doubt, because he's the one guy who came out of that burning city. And then he goes, ends up back in the mountain again. But God had told him from the beginning, go to the mountain. I want to go to Zoar. All right, go to Zoar. He ended up back at the mountain. You remember Abraham. He was afraid. He feared to say that Sarah was his wife, because he feared his own life and brought a lot of complications in. It was fear. You remember Moses, who was found out about his murder. Moses feared, saying, surely the thing is known. And he ran for his life. The scripture says of idolaters, they sacrificed to devils and not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up that your fathers did not fear. They didn't fear. We'll either fear God or we will fear something else. We'll either have this reverential fear of God and this adoption into his kingdom, this perfect love that casts out all fear, or we will spend our days in other fears. Samuel was afraid to give the vision that was spoken of Eli. Eli was going to be punished, and the boy Samuel was afraid to give it, and God... And Samuel, Eli wisely said, you need to give the whole vision. And Samuel overcame his fear. Saul sinned. He says, I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words because I feared the people. Our rulers fear too. They fear the people. They fear a lot of things. Their times are disobedient on account of it. The servants who saw that the child between Bathsheba and David had died, it says they were afraid to tell David that he had died. But by that very token, David knew that the child had died. We are afraid at times to tell people the harsh truth of the realities of this life. But it needs to be said. And it says that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. John did not fear the face of men. He preached the word faithfully. He was taken prisoner on account of it. But even as a prisoner, Herod feared John. You will either fear or be feared. You will either fear or be feared. Men fear the believers because they don't have a fear except God. And when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." They feared because they saw the proceedings and because they had a sense that this man was truly God. He is the one that we are to fear. He is the one that we are to revere. He is the one that we are to give our lives to. And Christ said, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, and so much that they trode on each other, began to say to the disciples, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and neither hid that shall not be known. So don't be hypocrites like them. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear and in the closets is going to be proclaimed upon the housetops. I say to you, my friends, be not afraid of those that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. I forewarn you who you should fear. Fear him which after he has killed has power to cast into hell. I say to you, fear him." Fear him. So we play the man when we fear God and not men. When we put away our other fears to obey the Lord. The one we are to fear, truly fear, is the Lord who, while men threaten to take our lives from us, it is God is the one who has actually appointed the day of our demise. And when He takes our life from us, He has the power to cast into hell if we have spent our days fearing men instead of God. So He says, fear Him rather. Because if you fear the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have a deep reverence and love for Him, if God is with you, whithersoever you go, if you are walking with God, then that will help allay your fears of men and allow you to do that which you desire to do if you are a Christian, to walk in obedience to God, to walk in obedience to Him. And this should be our desire. So we play the man. Paul says, acquit yourselves as men. We play the man when we put away our fears and walk in obedience to our Heavenly Father. And how can we do that? We can do that because God is with us. It is a recognition of His presence with us that we came to when we came to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we came to the pardon and forgiveness of sins, when our conscience was cleansed, when we were adopted into His family. And when I was adopted into God's family as a young person, in my teens, it was a whole change of thought process for me, because as a teenager, you worry about what other people think, and you're worried about your peers, and all those things are heavy on you. And when I came to Christ, I realized that being cleansed and all things being taken care of, I had one purpose in life now, and that was to serve the one true and living God. And it really didn't matter what other people thought or what they wanted or what they cared about as far as me, which I've shared with you many times. I had lots of fears. I had lots of fears. My greatest fear was preaching, because that's what I told the Lord I would never do. I'll do everything else for him. But the Lord overcomes our fears when he is with us, when he is with us. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. We thank you for the presence of Christ by the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Christ with us. We thank you for the courage and strength that you grant to your people, the testimonies that we have throughout all of the Holy Scriptures. We thank you that there is more with us than with them. We thank you that we are surrounded by the very providence and power of God at all times in our life. We confess our fears to you, Lord. We have many fears. And throughout the day, as we size up the situations that we come to, oftentimes fear wants to have a part. We pray that you would help your people to honor you in each and every situation they come into, to honor you with obedience, to honor you with the fear that belongs to you. And that we would put away our fear of men, and in its place would be this soothing presence of God, this adoption, which grants to us a holy boldness, not because of ourselves, but because of him, not because of our word, but because of his word, not because of any perfection in us, but because of the beautiful perfections in him. Oh, what a Savior, oh, what a Lord, oh, what a Master we have to be with us. Oh, what a God. So I pray you bless your people now. I pray that you bless the men of the congregation that are here this day, who specifically Paul speaks to when he says, acquit yourselves as men, that you would give these men the courage to put away their fears and to follow you in obedience, taking on their responsibilities. We'll bless your name, O Lord, for that work, for we know that it is not in us, but we know that it is of you, in you alone, when men do such things and follow you. And this is what we look for, O Lord. We look for those things which we cannot do, but which are wrought out by God in the lives of men. We pray that you would make us true Christians. We pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.